Stay tuned for The Positive Mind. Coming up, it is now 1 p.m. Stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. Ben Starr, Kevin O'Donohue here with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And we've had some great conversations so far here in this month of September as we grind back into the day-to-day routine of real life. And we spoke about that, Kevin, transitioning out of the summertime. You know it's September, you know it's back to school, back to work, when the city is basically shut down, right? When the United Nations comes to town, and every September, you know, we just hit this sort of snarl of traffic and police everywhere. And that's kind of how you know for sure we're back to reality. And we wanted to bring up some new topics, right? We talk about all kinds of things.
Clothing last week.
We had some great calls, great feedback from you, and we always love to hear from you at positivemind@wbai.org. But today we thought we'd talk about something that everybody can truly relate to one way or another, and that is attraction. It's such an important topic, Kevin.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, especially since it triggers the unconscious, much like what we talked about last week about appearance, that we found that a lot of things trigger us unconsciously when we look at appearance in people. You know, red lipstick, for instance, or certain colors, all different types of styles of dress and clothing. It sends a subconscious, unconscious message, and it does it so quickly. Remember, in our research, we were saying that it really takes about 3 seconds for people to look at you and decide how they feel.
That's true.
About you.
That's true.
Now, 3 seconds. I mean, that's... And so that shows how fast, you know, our minds work, both on a conscious and an unconscious level. Remember that we talked about let's say, a woman is wearing red, that men speed up and approach her more quickly. I mean, so it affects behavior, just appearance. And again, within 3 seconds. So there are a lot of variables, a lot of things that go on that seem very simple in terms of attractiveness, in terms of appearance. So we wanted to stretch it out a little bit. What about intimate relationships?
And you know what? Before we came on today, I asked Kevin, I said, Kevin, which to you is more true when it comes to attraction, right? Is it more true that opposites attract or that like attracts like? Hmm. And Kevin, you thought about it and it didn't take you long and you just said, I think it's like attracts like. And indeed, we've looked at studies that have shown that we're attracted to familiarity. Now, what does that mean? Because this is a subconscious, right? Mm-hmm. This isn't even something that we're necessarily aware of. This is not something that we may be actively thinking about. But we're attracted to familiar people. Yeah. So, for example, someone that you may not think is particularly attractive, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you see them over time, for an extended period of time, maybe you work with them, maybe they're a neighbor, maybe they are in the neighborhood. But, you know, you see that person over time, consistent exposure to that individual will make them more attractive, right? Because they become more familiar.
Hmm.
So people who behave in ways that are familiar to us are also attractive to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about, you know, a physical or physiological attraction, Kevin. It can also be behavior. So, for instance, if you grew up with an alcoholic parent, right? Let's say you grew up with an alcoholic
mm-hmm.
father.
Mm.
You're going to be much more likely to be attracted to men who are alcoholics.
Hmm.
Not because you're necessarily into them physically, not because you think they're super attractive, but because their behavior, their way of being is familiar.
Yeah. Let's back up a little bit because I did give a longer response. I think that we can be attracted to opposites attract, that notion, that idea, in the short term, that, you know, on a traditional way of going out at night and meeting people, that often we are attracted to somebody who is opposite us. And so I think that that fades, and that familiarity like is attracted to like in the long term. Because, yes, it is a familiarity. It is something that we feel like we have a hold on. You know, most people want to be in control. The biggest fear that everybody, every adult certainly, and certainly children, have is a fear of losing control. And so this theory and this research that we found about familiarity, even if it's that to marry somebody who, you know, has pathologies, has things that, you know, are clearly not conducive to a loving, open, caring, compassionate, supportive relationship, that lo and behold, you find yourself, I married my father, or I married my mother.
Yeah.
You know, and this happens time and time and time again. And even, let's say, physical abuse, right? I mean, when we have clients and people who come in and talk about, you know, being abused physically, you know, the question is, well, what's familiar about that? Not you should just leave. I mean, we never tell people that. You should just leave that relationship. That's what friends will tell you. Just leave him. Leave. But it's not that simple. We want people not to do it again. So we ask them, what is familiar about that? And oftentimes people are blocked. They can't really see it. They can't. I don't remember being physically abused. I don't remember alcohol being such a big, big problem. I don't remember the TV that was on all the time as an obstacle in our lives. And yet, lo and behold, these behaviors show up with your partner, and then you start to remember, oh, now I got it. Now I see the connection. So I think this is a great, great topic.
And so what Kevin's saying is, look at your relationships now. Look at the idiosyncrasies within your relationships, and look for congruencies and for patterns and for repetitions of behaviors, situations, and characteristics that may have existed prior in other relationships, in your original relationships, which are those relationships that we formed with our family, notably our parents.
Yeah.
You know, I hear so many women, Kevin, say that they feel like they are in a situation with a man who's too controlling or who's overbearing, right? And, well, look back to the prior relationships, to the prior boyfriends.
Right.
Is this the first time that you've been with a man that you felt was overbearing and controlling?
Yeah.
Or are we looking at a pattern?
Right.
A repeated pattern where there's a series of men who are controlling. And when we go back far enough, when we go back and look at your parents, right? How are your parents with you?
Yes.
Chances are, I'm thinking, there's a very strong likelihood that there was a controlling father or mother figure in there at some point.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI. I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue. Today we're talking about the emotion and the science of attraction. And we used to hear Armand DeMille talk about the concept of finding a plus for your minus, which I love. That's such a great way of putting it. You know, there's for many of us, we're looking for someone to really fill a part of our lives that we feel is inadequate.
Yeah.
So we look for a complement, for a counterbalance.
Yeah. And we, in the short term, I think it's really what we found in our research, Ben, is that really a negative to my negative is what happens when people who certainly come from dysfunctional backgrounds, because, you know, you connect with other people on a similar wounding. You know, if you were traumatized, you're going to be you're often going to be attracted to and interested in find somebody who's wounded on the same level as you are. So one thing we want to make clear is that even though you might find yourself in relationships that, you know, are mimicking a pattern you grew up with, there's a great, great, great opportunity with a partner who shares a similar trauma or similar pathology or similar wound. So wound attracts wound. We say in psychology often that you're with this partner for a reason. You're here to figure something out. And once you figure it out, now we take things that were in the unconscious and we bring them into the conscious awareness. When you have two people that are willing to do that, and that's kind of what relationships can do.
Well,
you have
it's
a
ironic,
lot of power,
you know, it's ironic,
to get
Kevin,
a lot of insight.
So many people, right, are inherently subconsciously seeking out those who have tendencies or qualities that remind them of their dysfunctional early relationships with caregivers or parents.
Yes. So, you know, we can recommend, here's a trick, or here's a tool, an idea to do. Review your relationships, your intimate relationships, your significant relationships, and make a list of the positive qualities, maybe 5 positive qualities, and 5 negative qualities. And see how many of your partners in the past share similarities in both the positives and the negatives. And then when you see the negatives, then say, well, which variables in my environment growing up were these negative qualities illustrated?
I just want to say for our radio listeners out there on 99.5, thanks for sticking with us. There have been some minor technical difficulties today, but hopefully we're coming through and loud and clear, and you can hear us. You are tuned into The Positive Mind, and we will be taking your phone calls a little bit later in the program. We're going to be providing you the number here in a bit, but right now we're talking about attraction and the legacy of trauma and the impact that can have on attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And what attraction is made of?
Yeah, what is it made of? I think a lot of it is made up of the unconscious. I mean, when we reviewed what happens when we're attracted to sexual partners, there are certain things that, you know, we just recognize unconsciously. If you take the idea of smell, can you be attracted to somebody whose smell you don't like?
Probably not.
Right.
You know, that goes down to a very deep-seated biological place
right.
where now we're dealing with pheromones, which is so far beyond anything we can consciously choose.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's just hardwired into our biology, into our genetics.
Yes, and often, like, you know, in nature, animals will mate largely due to pheromones and smell that they can smell from the other animal. That will tell them this animal has good genes. So my progeny, my offspring, are going to be healthy. Well, we humans, we do the same thing.
Right. And it's important to note, we're not that far removed, right? From an evolutionary standpoint and a biological standpoint, we're not so far removed from that, Kevin.
Yeah.
And we still do have many of those, frankly, animal tendencies in terms of our mating habits, in terms of how we approach attraction and sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one of the most visceral and primal experiences that we have in this life, which is, you know, the mating and sexuality.
Yeah. And so, you know, what we're trying to do is to provide tools that, yes, we have reptilian brains, you know, but we also have prefrontal cortex that allows us to make choices. So, yes, I'm attracted to a person wearing that shirt or with that, but it turns out they're not a nice person. You know, I don't like their opinions. I don't like their values. So our prefrontal cortex will interrupt our reptilian brain and say, okay, I don't want to be attracted to this person. I am, but I'm going to interrupt that attraction and not follow it. Similarly, you know, in nature with smell, we are attracted to people whose smell will reinforce the idea that this person is a strong person.
Right. What it is it's telling you that they have different genetic immunities than you do.
Right.
Which means that you will have a much healthier offspring with more immunities.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the biology of scent and attraction, and it's fascinating when you want to think about it in that context.
So we want to take some calls, right? Let's go right into calls, Ben, because I want to find out what people find in their partners that they were unconscious of, but they were attracted to. And is there a pattern? Honestly, we're looking for honest callers today because, you know, this is a tough thing to recognize. It's a tough thing to say, yes, I'm attracted to a person who's a control freak, or I'm attracted to a person who is passive aggressive, or I'm attracted to a person, you know, who will always disappoint me.
212-757-5555 is the number to call. Has there been a pattern in the sort of people and the individuals that you've been attracted to? Right. I think it's very difficult, and dangerous even, to fall into this idea of type, but so many of us do it, right? I mean, we've all heard that person say, you know, my type is I like brunette, for example, you know?
Yes.
And so you can't be with a blonde, can't be with a redhead. It's got to be a brunette.
Right.
Or, you know, a woman who says, I like a man with a beard, or I like a man with who dresses a certain way.
Right.
I have this certain type. Right. Yeah. I think that can be a pitfall, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
I think it can be.
Why is that? Because it limits your choices?
It's a self-limiting belief and behavior.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, if it goes back to this idea of pattern of negativity, right? And if you've had a string of certain relationships that maybe didn't work out or that turned out to be controlling or destructive, and you're continuing to say, well, this is my type. Well, it's, you're going to continue to get the same experiences.
Yeah. Right. So if you're locked into to a certain type, especially if it's the type is based on appearance, then, you know, how deep can you go in your relationship? I mean, what personal factors can this touch in you that can be transformed and that you can be liberated from? So I think when you say, oh, I'm attracted to a type and I will only settle for those types, I think people often move beyond just the physical. I mean, yes, there are people, there are men who will not date or get together with women that they don't consider attractive. And there are women who will not date men who aren't over 6 feet tall or something like that. So in that sense, I get your idea, Ben, that to limit yourself to that type only, you know, is a way of sort of limiting your possibility for certain growth. Because, yes, your like is attracting like, but you're not working on something deeper to, you know, expand yourself and learn different things. So 212-757-5555. What, you know, what type of partner are you attracted to that you can see? I mean,
much of it is unconscious.
Yeah, much of it's unconscious. And I think all of
it may take actually listing out the partners that you've been attracted to and listing all of their traits and their qualities and their flaws, frankly, and then and looking at it on paper to see the unconscious side that you may have missed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you pick a type, when you're limiting yourself to a type, you're kind of limiting yourself to an unconscious control. And the thing about the unconscious is that it takes control. You don't really have control over who you're attracted to, is what this unconscious thing is saying. And same thing with appearance. When you see somebody who appears a certain way for you, you're not in control of it. You're just naturally attracted to it. But it's sort of to just go with the attraction limits your choices and limits actually the repair to certain things that, you know, were left unfinished in your past relationships. So again, we're looking for calls just based on patterns, on a pattern. Like, I mean, I have a tendency, Ben, to be in relationships with people that allow me to talk. And so a quieter woman, I'm more interested in a quieter woman than a, you know, a type A personality. Because I grew up around a certain quietness in my upbringing home. And I like to reenact that. That at least is a base for me to go out and take risks from. If somebody is bombastic and loud, it's too much pressure. There's too much foreignness to it for me to be able to open up and talk. I wouldn't know what to do.
Let's take a call. We have Nick on the line. Hi, Nick.
How you doing, guys?
Good, Nick.
Thanks for calling.
Just tuned in maybe 5 or 6 minutes ago, so if you've already mentioned it, I thought I would also add the fact that our attraction or things we're not attracted to is very determined by our conditioning. You didn't seem to mention that, and we are conditioned by our culture, our environment, advertising, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, so that our natural, instinctive, biological, or essential nature is often blocked or smeared, made, you know, fuzzy because the conditioning overrides everything. I wish people were attracted to each other just on the basis of their own nature and the nature of the other person. I wish they were that clean.
Yeah. Well, that's a great point, but we've seen evidence that that may be the case. We've seen that attraction is incredibly individualized and influenced by our life experiences, but in addition to all the other factors that
like
Nick mentioned.
Media. Like Nick, I mean, who are you attracted to? You've gotten beyond being attracted just based on conditioning.
My experience is that the initial nonverbal, sort of immediate attraction. Now we're talking about women, okay? We'll go back to that.
Okay,
it's immediately based on all those collection of factors. But the more you get to know an individual person, the less that conditioning comes into play.
Right.
For example, if you marry somebody because they are drop-dead gorgeous and sexy by all conventional standards,
right,
that wears off after a few weeks or months or years.
Oh, yeah.
At a certain point, none of that matters.
I totally agree with you.
So enough said. I'll let someone else get on.
Thanks a lot, Nick.
Thank you, Nick.
That's a great call because he has a sense of what we're talking about and what this is about. It is conditioning, and we are conditioned with the onslaught of media, now the internet. I mean, everywhere. We are conditioned, or we're being sold a type of person that we should be attracted to. And so I think he's talking about something that's really, really critical. And again, it sounds like he's triumphed over it. He's gotten beyond that. So what do you feel like you're being sold to be attracted to? And do you find yourself able to resist it? Yeah.
We have a few callers on hold, and we invite more of you to give us a call at 212-757-5555. Let's take another call. We have Jane on the line. Hi, Jane.
Hi. I wanted to bring up a subject that was maybe past the normal stereotypes of sex versus success objects.
Yeah.
Leaving gender out of this completely because I think it could go both ways. There's a concept of, for me, I think there seems to have been a pattern of a concept of partnering, and maybe the whole reason for partnering,
mm-hmm.
to fulfill something that the other person fails, lacking that. Some characteristic that a person lacks, which has caused them to be unsuccessful. Uh-huh. And the partner provides the ability to then be, quote, successful at it.
Jane, that's a great point. It's kind of like we mentioned earlier on, seeking out a plus for your minus or a complementary personality, someone who you can lean on and be leaned on in terms of being a complement for each other's strengths and weaknesses. Is that what you mean?
Exactly. I was even going to say that, but I held my tongue about the genetics, where you say,
yeah.
Well, if I need this in my genetics pool, is this really what partnering is about, to get something that you're, in some way you are incomplete,
yeah.
and you see yourself as being incomplete,
right.
or which is a kind of codependency, maybe, or not. I'm going to leave that to you to
yes.
explain.
Right.
The opposite being, well, we come to each other as full people, and we just enjoy something about each other.
Right. I mean, that's the goal. That's the ideal. But I think you have it true that what we're really, what often attraction is based on is the opportunity to master something that's missing in us and fill something that's missing in us. Is that what you're really saying?
That is. Or the opposite, one partner's feeling that and maybe the other, maybe they're both feeling that, but maybe one is feeling like that person fills my void. So that person becomes a cheerleader.
Yep.
Sure.
And they're nothing in themselves except for the peg that's missing from the person who's nearly complete.
Yeah. How about you? I mean, have you gotten beyond that sort of paradigm to a place where you can simply enjoy another person just based on who they are, and you let them enjoy something in you based on who you are?
I think intellectually I'm developing that awareness based on having gone through some of those patterns that I mentioned to you.
Yeah.
But I don't think I have the answer to the question on why the pairing at all. Like, again, Mm. Is the pairing meant to be that way? The way you spoke with genetics, are you supposed to find the miss? Are you supposed to look at yourself as if there's something missing,
yeah,
and there's someone to complete it, or is it okay to feel like you're fine?
Yeah, I think the latter. I think, and you sound kind of sophisticated enough to be attracted to people based on their qualities rather than on what's missing in you and what you think that they could fix in you. So, Jane, I think this is the first time you called. Is this the first time?
It's the first time I spoke on air.
Thanks for calling. Call us again.
Thank you very much for the show. It's always a great pleasure to listen. I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you for listening.
Have a good day.
You too, Jane.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
212-757-5555.
I mean, that's the goal, Ben. The goal is that you are relating to somebody because you like the qualities in them, and they bring out the qualities in you that you like. But in our research on attraction and how we gravitate towards others, gravitate towards a significant person, it's often, if not, 90-some-odd percent, that it's from a deficit, and we're trying to fill the deficit in ourselves. We have a lot to say on this. So tomorrow's show is also going to be about this, and we're going to do a little diagram tomorrow and talk about some examples, like we did when we did that play, love, what was the other two? Work?
Yep.
And learning, yeah.
We have time for maybe one more call before we get to our break here halfway through the program. We have Victor on the line. Hi, Victor.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Victor. How are you?
Good. I'm a regular listener to WBAI, and
Victor, can you just turn down the radio?
The radio isn't on. I'm speaking to you on a Bluetooth.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
It's not on.
All right.
So I'll try to be as clear as possible. Okay.
Great.
All right. In fact, let me do this.
Is this better?
Much better.
Yeah. That's it.
I took you off this. I got you off the Bluetooth.
Oh, okay, great.
Now I just run the risk of getting a $200 ticket, but that's okay. No, I'll just pull over. But anyway, this is what I was going to say, and I don't want to be long-winded.
Go ahead.
So it's ironic, the positive mind. Forgive me if I'm injecting a little bit of negativity here. But
go ahead.
This is my view. So when you talk about, an attraction, right, I think these ones should separate, as physical attraction from the rest, right, the spiritual, the mental, and all the other components, right? Mm. I think, and forgive me for sounding so sure of myself, right, but I think it's a little bit unrealistic to expect somebody to say, well, I want to broaden my horizons, I want to do some self-exploration and growth and all that, so what I want to do is, this woman who I think is not physically attractive at all. In fact, I find her completely unattractive. Mm. I'm going to go ask her out on a date. I just think it's unrealistic. As much as we would want to grow spiritually,
sure,
I think the physical, there always has to be a physical attraction. Now, albeit what attracts people physically differs from person to person, right?
Sure.
But I think, within that person, they have to find somebody physically attractive. If that one thing isn't there, then the rest doesn't happen. I'm wrong. Maybe I'm being too glib.
No. I we're not going to disagree with that. I think, that's a really, it gets back to the point about smell. Did you hear us talking about smell? That, you can't be attracted to somebody whose smell you just don't like. It just kind of repulses you. And I think if somebody repulses you on a physical level, you're not going to be attracted to them. So I don't think, we don't want to say that. But what we will say, and what some of the research has shown, is that qualities, positive qualities, for instance, if somebody is generous or they're kind, they become more physically attractive to us. But I do agree with you that, there's a certain level or marker that, certain people can't go past. For me, I mean, I couldn't be attracted to somebody who smokes. So I have my own markers no matter what. I just could not compromise myself in that way. Other people might have something else. It might be a weight difference, a height difference, like Ben said about a beard and stuff. So I think you make a really good point, and we don't want to be unrealistic at all. So, Victor, we're charging you with keeping us on track, and you keep calling us. All right?
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
Victor. All right. The number to call, 212-757-5555. You're listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI. We'll be back after this short musical break with more of your calls.
A man we passed just tried to stare me down. And when I looked at you, you looked at the ground. I don't know who he is, but I think that you do. Dadgum it, who is he and what is a he to you? I had something in my heart and in your eyes. Tell me he's not someone just passing by. And when you cleared your throat, was that your cue? Dadgummit, who is he and what is a he to you? Now when I add the sum of you and me, I get confused and I keep coming up with three. Too much for one man, but not enough for two. Dadgummit, who is he and what is a he to you? Well, you tell me men don't have much intuition. La la, is that what you really?
Withers here on The Positive Mind, and we're talking about attraction, we're talking about the science, and really the pathology and the power behind attraction.
And the patterns.
And the patterns, that's right. We are taking your calls at 212-757-5555. Let's hear from Bob. Bob, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Nice to talk to you. I was a big fan of Armand's show, and I listened for many years.
Great. Nice to have you back. How are you?
Great. So, you know, I sort of discovered a pattern, and I think I'm still in it. I'm 58, but yeah. My first wife left me. My second wife, we sort of left each other, but my last girlfriend also did. And I don't know if that's because, you know, my dad moved out when I was 16. My sister was 18, and he never looked back, never called, and never, you know, took care of us. That feels like a pattern. And the last lady I just dated, from the first date, she said, I'm never going to get married. And once a month for 6 months, she broke up with me until I finally said I had enough.
Let me ask you, did you know early on that these women were going to leave you or that you were going to get into difficulty with them?
No, I think I created some of it with my first wife. Mm-hmm. After 15 years, she was driving me crazy, so I left her. Then I moved back in, and we went to therapy. But in that short period of time where I moved out, she met a guy and sort of kept him on the side for the 1 year, and then she told me he was done with me. The second wife, who I love dearly, we were together 4 years. I started flirting with another lady, and then she said she was done. And then, like I said, this last lady, I just, you know, I mean, it's been 4 months, But from the beginning, she said, you know, people either love her or hate her. She came from a schizophrenic father background, and her parents made her go live with her grandmother when she was three. So she had her issues, which I must have really attracted unconsciously.
Yeah.
And then I think I'm done. I think I'm done with this pattern because she was it, like, you know, once a month for 6 months, and I'm going, oh, this seems familiar. But it was, you know, it was hell when I was going through it.
Yeah. It sounds like you've had heartache, but you haven't been buried underneath it. Did they all have one thing in common, now that you look at these three women? Did they all have one thing in common? One negative. Let's go with the negative first.
The negative, I would have to say, their fathers, all three were probably pretty negative towards them. You know, were pretty, all three of their fathers. I mean, as far as a negative towards me, did you want like a negative in their background?
Something, personal qualities of theirs. Were they quiet? Were they controlling? Were they too neat? Were they political?
Well, the last one was a bit of a, she had an eating issue. She was, you know, borderline anorexic.
Okay.
She really didn't eat much.
Right.
The second one was, the one before that, the second wife, she might have been a little bit controlling in certain respects.
Mm-hmm.
But she came from a physically abusive background.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you want to fix them? Did you
of
think?
Of course. That was it. I was trying to fix them like I was trying to fix my mom. My dad left, I was the breadwinner. You know, back in those days, you know, women didn't even know how to write a check.
Yeah. So as a young guy, you had to grow up quick. And you learned what men learn to do in our society. They're taught to fix their relationships, fix the other person, not really necessarily always enjoy them. Although I do hear that you've been in love, so that's really promising. you know, but this quality, this tendency to fix, you might watch out for that in your next one.
Right, so does that go with the abandonment, or am I making that? Is the abandonment my story, and the fixing is the second story? Because I think
It's a great question. Yeah. You have been listening to Armand. The short answer is yes. It sure is, Bob. We're going to take another call, but this has been very instructive to everybody listening. So thanks for calling.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thanks, Bob. 212-757-5555.
And it's
very interesting, Kevin, because I think that is such a common thing among men, as you said, trying to be a fixer or a savior, right? Trying to be the one to, it's like a Superman complex.
Yes, rather than
looking for that damsel in distress, wanting to be the hero.
Yeah, because, and he's a very strong man, very brave man, because then I don't have to feel my abandonment.
Right.
Then I get to be...
I get to be
the one who
empowered.
Fixes others and don't abandon them. You know, I mean, so he sounds like he's learned a lot, though, and he's growing. So the future looks bright for Bob. But fixing is a big, big problem because it allows us not to be vulnerable. And vulnerability is what we're talking about here. We're trying to get you out of your patterns into a vulnerability so your vulnerability can meet another person's vulnerability. And it's not simply just attraction, but it's really what do I need from you and being able to say that, and what does the other person need from me that I can give them. So
it's an excellent point, Kevin. And if you are just joining us, you're listening to The Positive Mind. We're talking about attraction, patterns of attraction, and the legacies of attraction in terms of what our upbringing, our traumas, our childhood, how they can impact who and how we become attracted in our adult years.
Yeah.
The number to call, 212-757-5555. That's 212-757-5555. We are... once again, dealing with some minor technical difficulties, but I thank those of you for hanging with us and sticking in there. Thanks again. Kevin, what do you think about this notion that I just want to go back to something that you'd mentioned earlier in the show of people being attracted to matching traumas or wounds,
yeah,
right?
My wound.
Looking for someone who has a similar trauma or similar negative experience.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's time and time again, Ben. I mean, in fact, I wish, like, people would go on their dates and you know, you, people can't do this, but, you know, how were you wounded by your childhood? Because talking about it is going to heal it. You know, hiding it and burying it, and it's often buried from us so that we can't even talk about it, makes it worse. But, you know, being able to talk about it, but it's not something you talk about on the first date. And often what happens when romance, like an earlier caller talked about, falls apart, then you begin to start seeing, you know, the deficits, the wounds, the negative in the other person. And you're saying, wow, they have baggage that I don't want to have to carry. And they're probably seeing the same in you. If the romance has fallen off for you, it's probably fallen off for them. So what we're saying is that unconsciously you picked this person in the first place exactly so that you would be able to see your baggage. But so many people panic when they see the baggage in other people and in them themselves, and they feel like, oh, I'm supposed to carry their bags for them, that they abandon the relationship. And no, this is the time when the relationship is ripe for you to really be attracted on a deeper level. Because, you know, how subtle it is that we get attracted to other people, and we're talking about this attraction based on the unconscious, even for something like smell, but even fertility. I mean, we pick partners. Women pick masculine men more often because, again, it's this idea, unconscious, that they have good genes and that potentially they'll be good partners. If I have a child, this would be the type of person that would be able to support and provide for them. Now, we can transcend and get beyond that simple understanding, but time and time again, women are attracted to the masculine man. And then it's only after the masculinity falls off and there's not enough depth that we begin to see the wounding that all of us have been subject to, and that the real opportunity for connection really happens. So it's a great concept, this idea about negative attracts negative, or wound attracts wound. But it's a starting point when you do begin to see the what's missing in your partner, for you to open these wounds up. You have them also, and really start connecting with what Bob said, those qualities that the person has. So we're having some issues with the phone. Do we have another caller? Okay, so we're having trouble with the calls, and the lights are beaming, but for some reason we're not able to get them here in the studio. But hang in there. We'll get them back.
If your call was dropped, give us a call back, 212-757-5555.
Penny, here's the thing about fertility. You know, it's found out that, you know, when women are ovulating in their menstrual cycle, that they turn out to be more attractive, you know, and that men are more attracted to them because they're ovulating.
Yeah, and not only that, they're more receptive to meeting new men.
Yes.
During that time.
Yes. And so the eye often wanders, even for women who are in relationships, when they're feeling the height of their menstrual cycle, that even if they're in a happy relationship, that they might find themselves actually looking for other mates, other partners, even though that they won't engage on that level. So this is a subconscious thing also. And also when women are on the pill, you know, being on the pill mimics being pregnant. And so the hormones of being pregnant create their own sort of things of attraction. You're not so attracted necessarily to who you would usually be attracted to when you're on the pill. You might be attracted to a man who is more sensitive, who is more nourishing, more nurturing, not necessarily the masculine man, because you're already pregnant. And so you're looking for somebody who can nurture the child that's coming. And that's what the pill does. It mimics being pregnant. And so our attractiveness changes, or what we find attractive changes when we're on the pill. You know, this is all very subtle, unconscious things. And again, what I said about personality, if you're exhibiting kind of positive traits like kindness or generosity, that these can be aphrodisiacs also. You can be attracted to somebody just based on their personal qualities, and their attractability changes just based on that.
Let's hear from Janine. Hi, Janine.
Hey, hi, guys. This is amazing. Okay, so where do I begin? Attraction. In 74, my husband now and I were very attracted to one another. But I was 14, he was 21. That never happened. Okay, after that, I, in 82, married a very wealthy man. I was born that, you know, you can fall in love with a poor man as well as a rich man. So me not wanting to suffer like my mother, it just happened. I was always attracted to wealthy men, or they were attracted to me.
Uh-huh.
I married.
Yeah.
At 21, 5 months divorced. He was 13 years older.
Wow.
Okay. P.S. You were right. Okay. So now, in 84, I re-meet, well, he was always around, my husband now, because his aunt married my brother. So I would always see him at affairs. Meanwhile, he would always stare at me. Make a long story short, he marries 4 years. Now in 84, I go to a funeral and I see him. It's his aunt. I have to pay my respects. Bingo. He's divorced. I'm divorced.
Wow.
Whatever.
Okay.
We go back to my brother's. The attraction is there, but I say, oh, no, too many years went by, we're related. Make a long story short, we get married in 86.
Wow.
And he was my Joe Namath. That's who he looked like. That's how gorgeous he is and was.
Uh-huh.
That was my Joe Namath. But anyway.
Is he wealthy?
I'm 56. No, I married the poor carpenter.
Oh, you like those gritty, earthy guys.
And listen to this. I moved in his mother's brownstone in Brooklyn. I came to Amandaville on 57th Street, because I was having problems in 92.
Okay.
And I'll never forget the woman I saw. We're not even going to get into that. Anyway,
okay.
I'm still here.
Yeah.
That's another day for another story. But what I'm saying is here now, I'm still in this brownstone. The mom passed. Okay. I'm living upstairs in my apartment with my 30-year-old daughter. My 25-year-old is renting downstairs from the father and the brother.
Okay.
With the grandma passed.
Right.
And my husband sleeps in the basement. We are no longer together.
Wow.
The attraction is gone.
Gone, gone, gone.
Gone, gone, gone. And the smell, we're talking smell?
Mm-hmm.
I used to smell Givenchy. He was gorgeous. I don't smell that. It's just, I can't take the smell.
Oh.
And
so you,
I sleep alone.
Yeah.
It's 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we live together, but we sleep separate. And it's because of all the pain from 92 that I came to Ramon. I never resolved. It never got better. It only got worse.
Right.
7 years ago, his mother passed, my mom.
I see.
Anyway, he didn't do the right thing about the brownstone. I still don't own a house. And go ahead. So what do you do?
Well,
you know, we have to move on.
You do. You have to move on.
Yeah.
But you've been through some different men.
So much.
It sounds like you've been through some different men. And I'm wondering if there's a thread that runs through all of them.
Well, the thing is this. I'm very first, it's attraction.
Yes. Attracted to what?
I love that. I have gorgeous brothers who dress beautiful. My father, who I wasn't raised with, was gorgeous. So I'm very attracted to that, and I love the way a man dresses. I had to dress my husband now.
Yeah.
Like, show him, you know.
Janine, I'm going to interrupt you because we're going to be doing the take on this tomorrow. I want you to call us back tomorrow because I have a theme. And
I got to write a book.
And in the meantime, no. But what you have to do is to try and identify the positive qualities that all these guys had, five qualities for each guy. So I want you to prepare for tomorrow. Five positive qualities of each man. And five negative qualities for each man.
Right.
And we're going to take this up tomorrow. So I want you to give us a call. All right.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening, Janine.
Thanks.
212-757-5555.
There has to be a
common
thread.
To call.
There has to be.
It has to be what?
A common thread. And it sounds like she's attracted to men physically. Something about them physically that gets her, which is great. But there also has to be something emotionally or psychologically that gets her, and that's what we're going to get to tomorrow.
We're taking your calls today about attraction and the nature of attraction and how you've coped with it and dealt with it. And I want to hear from Brenda on the line. Hi, Brenda.
Hi. Hello. How are you?
Hi. Good. Thanks for calling us.
You're welcome. Well, my story is I never had a type, but the ones who were attracted to me were always younger and slim. And I was married twice. My first husband, I divorced, and he left me with the bills.
Oh.
He could have seen his child anytime he wanted to. He saw her maybe once. And my second marriage, my husband was deceased. We didn't have any children, but he was a sweetheart. And it's interesting because with my first marriage, my daughter got in touch with her father, the first marriage. And she said to me that he would like to speak to me.
Yeah.
So he did, so now we're friends. But one thing I had mentioned to a man who was a friend of mine, he wanted to know, what's the secret to a relationship? And I said to him, vulnerability.
Right.
And he jumped all over me for that. He says, but if you're vulnerable, you're going to get hurt.
Right.
And I said to him, well, if you don't open up your heart, you'll never have a good relationship.
Yeah. How about you? I love it, because we did talk about this a little bit ago. How are you with vulnerability?
Well, I don't hold anyone, you know, in a negative regard, no matter what they do to me, because I'm not that type person.
Yeah.
So that's what I reflect, you know, what my personality is.
But you've been hurt. You've been hurt.
Sure. Yeah. Everybody's been hurt.
Well, let's stay with you for now, because, you know, you've been hurt, and that's where vulnerability is. And it sounds like, you have insight from your first marriage, but there's got to be a lot of hurt there.
There's more shock than hurt, to tell you the truth.
You know what I think? I think we cloud the mind with the stuff that we're contending with, and we you know, steel ourselves against the stuff rather than, you know, facing and feeling the hurt that's behind the stuff.
One big lesson I learned is don't co-sign. That was my big problem.
Yeah, but I think thank you for calling. I think you've learned other lessons too. Tune in to us tomorrow. You might give us a call back tomorrow, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. We have time for maybe one more caller. I always love hearing people's personal journeys and personal experiences.
Yes, and how they keep themselves strong. It sounds like she found the right partner now, so that's fantastic. But there's some hurt in her voice that hopefully she'll share with us tomorrow. Vulnerability is the key. It's just getting there that's the hard part. Go ahead.
Yeah. We're just here taking calls. 212-757-5555. You have been listening to The Positive Mind as we wind down our program today. You can always reach us here at the studio. Or at the center, rather, at 212-757-4488. That's the number off the air when we're not on. You can reach us directly there, or you can reach Kevin@thepositivemind.com. You can reach me and Julian and the whole team, positivemind@wbai.org. Let's take one last caller. We have Pauline on the line. Hi, Pauline.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for calling in.
Yep, I just wanted to sort of challenge something you guys were talking about a little bit earlier in terms of conditioning and, like, people liking something that's familiar. I guess personally for myself, I've always found myself attracted to men or people that are quite opposite from the male role models I've had in my life.
Mm.
And so I also find it challenging when I'm, you know, I guess looking or seeking partners, because I'm always looking for someone who is an equal. And in my mind, it's not always about, okay, what is missing or what am I looking for to fulfill something? It's more of finding someone who's on the same page. And I guess
that's fantastic.
What are you exactly specifically into? And when you look for a man, what is it that attracts you in a man?
I would say intelligence and, it's more personality traits rather than first. Not to say appearance doesn't matter or having a sort of chemistry with someone doesn't matter. I think there's something definitely to be said for biology and pheromones and all of that. Yeah. But I think in general, it's a big turnoff for me if someone is so far from in their philosophical stance,
Sure.
And then even further from that, I would say that the people that I most stay away from are people most like my father or other male role models I've had.
Yeah.
And I think depending on everyone's personal life experience, you know, it can vary case by case. But I would say a lot of women sometimes tend to look for partners or maybe subconsciously end up with partners that are not familiar or not similar to male role, models they've had in their life.
Right. How about you? I mean, was there a time when you did find yourself in a relationship with someone like your dad? I mean, this sounds like, you know, where we're going with this, and we're going to take this up tomorrow, that it's not necessarily that the conditioning, but there are patterns, and it sounds like you pick men a certain way nowadays, and it's really works for you. And you sound like you go into relationships consciously. But was there ever a time, like, was it difficult for you, at another time, like you had to learn this pattern, learn not to pick a certain type of guy?
I think yes. I've been in relationships where I think personality traits would remind me, you know, so much of my father or other male role models.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tended to, I guess, through experience, you know, sort of, I mean, sometimes it seems like fight or flight, but then it's also just over time you get to realize, you know, what you look for in a person, what you like in a person, and what you don't like in partners, or, you know, what you want to have in your life.
Yeah.
So,
Pauline, thanks so much for giving us a call today. Great to hear from you. And we hope you stay tuned in and give us a call in the future.
Yeah, the show's great. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you
so
much.
So, Ben, I'm going to give people a taste for tomorrow, okay? We're going to do this 6 columns tomorrow, and the first column has the word frustration. So I want you to look at your partners that you've had in the past and find a way, like, what is it that they did that frustrated you? What about them was frustrating? And if you can find a similarity in all of your partners that you've had in the past, and they share a common thing that they did that was frustrating, it's going to keep us going tomorrow afternoon. So,
all right.
Well, thanks for calling today.
We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, 1 p.m. right here, 99.5 FM WBAI. If you want